judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That could include you and I today. Let's pray. Father, we just invite your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the right outlook and the right mindset as we look at the qualities of being a good soldier. Help us to learn from what is known to us as some of the Apostle Paul's final words. And so with that understanding, we go to the scripture this morning. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. There are a few places in the Bible that warrant our attention more than the book of 2 Timothy. I think it especially applies to the men, because just as you and I, if we were in a foreign prison, and if we were laying terminally ill, we would weigh our actions and our words very carefully. And so Paul's encouragement and instructions to Timothy are priceless jewels for the man of God. Given the weight of this last letter, the last letter that Paul wrote, we would do very well to listen carefully. But it's all about enduring hardness, and it's about working, and being a soldier is just one analogy. There are many that we're going to look at briefly, real quickly, through the scripture this morning. But again, it has to do with work. I'll give you something to think about. Came across this quote this week. Even a mosquito doesn't get a slap on the back until it starts to work. You get it? Certainly am not a comedian by any means, but if you stop and think about even the last 20 or 30 years, the things that have been invented for our pleasure and ease have been amazing. Some of them are even downright funny when you stop and think about it. If you don't believe me, when is the last time you watched a television program that you really weren't that interested in watching, but you watched it anyway because the remote control was on the other side of the room and you were too lazy to get up and get it? Or when you used your cell phone to text your daughter who was upstairs to tell her it was time to come down for dinner. You know, we hardly do anything for ourselves anymore. Thanks to all the computer games on the market today, you can hunt, fish, golf, play football, play basketball, play baseball, do just about any other sport without ever leaving the house. In fact, the only sweat some people get is when their back sticks to the back of their vinyl recliner that they're sitting in. You know, you don't even have to write checks anymore, do you? If you want to use a check, I think what very few people do nowadays. In fact, I was wondering, I was standing in line the other day, and I was wondering what was taking so long. And somebody was writing out a check. I mean, now we just go and we swipe our card and we're on the way. But, you know, you don't even, if you want to use a check, you don't even have to do anything than sign your name anymore. You just turn it over to the cash register lady or guy there, and they put it through their computer at the register, and it fills out everything for you. I did most of the sermon today through a voice-activated program. I just speak into the microphone, and it prescribes everything I say into my computer, and it magically appears on my desktop. It's a great idea, especially for those that get tired of typing. It's a great idea for those, I imagine, with carpal tunnel syndrome. But I got to thinking, you know, if you're sending an email to your boss and you're speaking it into the computer, you might want to be a little careful, because all that mumbling and grumbling that you do under your breath, the computer dictation program might pick that up and you might be standing in the unemployment line faster than you can say you've got mail. There are voice-activated DVRs, or DVDs. I used to say, I would say VCRs, but those have become a thing of the past. Even we tried to use one the other day, and it no longer worked. But all we have to do is speak a command. Record channel 4, Tuesday at 8 p.m. rewind, fast forward, make a bowl of popcorn, do the laundry. I mean, your wish is its command. This is a good one, folks. I found this one. I had a hard time believing this was even real, but I found out you don't even have to do your own exercising anymore. That's right. You can buy a special belt that will send an electrical charge to your muscles, tricking your muscles into thinking that they are exercising. Yeah. So you can have perfect abs while you're napping. No work, no sweat, no effort, except for the energy it takes to write out that check or to read the credit card numbers. I don't think I personally would have liked to play electrical charging mind games with my muscles. See, my muscles and I have an agreement. I don't make them do anything that they don't want to do, and they don't complain about the cellulite crowding in on their turf. I mean, if all of a sudden I started tricking them and electrocuting them for no good reason, I wonder how they might react. You don't have to strain your muscles to open and close maps anymore. Many of the new cars come with navigational systems. And if they don't come with it, you can get one for pretty cheap. You can get a GPS that'll tell you exactly where to go, when to turn, when not to turn, so you can get to the place that you need to be. Turn right. In 200 feet, turn left. It can flawlessly direct you to the nearest shopping outlet or restaurant or place to eat, and all for no effort except speak what you want it to tell you into it. Siri. Anybody know who Siri is? Siri, where's the nearest coffee shop? And she will tell you exactly how to get to the nearest coffee shop. Airports provide sidewalks that move. You don't even have to walk through the airport anymore. And in public restrooms, you don't even have to turn on the faucets anymore. All you have to do is stick your hands, wave your hands under the spout, and the water will automatically gush out, or at least trickle out. And you don't have to do an ounce of work for it. Isn't that great? When you're done, you simply take your hands away, and the water shuts off, eventually. In fact, we were in the Walmart by the Wisconsin Dells, and attached to the sink where you wash your hands automatically was the dryer. You don't even have to move across the room to dry your hands. You can do it all while you're standing there at the sink. But that's not the only thing that's now automatic in public restrooms. Some restrooms are so accommodating, you don't even have to push the handle on the, you know what I'm talking about, when you're done. You just stand up and walk away, and everything takes care of itself. Of course, it can be a little unsettling when the thing starts gushing before you're ready to leave. So as a people, here's my point, as a people, we are spoiled. We cook dinners in the microwave that takes 2 minutes. And if it takes five, or forbid if we have to actually stop the thing in the middle and stir, we'll find something else to throw in the microwave. Even reading has gotten easier. Thanks to audiobooks, you can just listen. You don't have to even, you can listen to novels and how-to books while you drive, which is great, unless, of course, it's a boring book. And then listening and driving can be hazardous to your health, especially if you fall asleep at the wheel. Audiobooks, they're a great idea. How about speakerphones? You don't even have to hold the phone anymore. You can set it on the desk, and you can talk into the air, and the phone will pick it up, and the other person will know what you're saying. But you need to be careful, because they can also hear the kids in the background. But sometimes those are nice to use. And there are plenty of examples that I could give to try to prove to you today that you are pampered and that we are being told to take the easy way out. Take the easy way. But Paul said we're to endure hardship, endure hardness as a good soldier. And I wonder if all of these conveniences and all of these things that pamper us really, in the end, wind up hurting us. is we're used to taking life easy and take the easy way out. Maybe it's time we start doing a few things for ourselves to build up some of our own survival muscles. Here's what Paul had to say. He gave these analogies of what a Christian is to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he talks about the soldier. The metaphor of the Christian life is mentioned in Paul, several of Paul's earlier letters. He considered believers to be at war. And Paul says, you are at war with three things. You are at war with this evil world system, or this fallen world in which we all inhabit. He says we are at war with our own sinful human nature. And he says that we are at war with Satan and his demons and the armies of evil. And so we're all soldiers. We're going to come back to being a soldier. That's what we're going to spend the most of the time on this morning. But Paul also compares the Christian life to that of being an athlete. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 is a picture of a spiritual race in an untiring pursuit to achieve the prize, but only if you run the race according to the rules. This is a call to obey the word of God. And then a second presentation of the man of God using an athlete as a metaphor, Paul tells us he must compete on the playing field that God has outlined. And whether an athlete or a soldier, God gives the gifts, God gives the weapons, God equips men and women in how they can run the race of life and how they can do battle with the enemy, how they can compete, and how they can win. And then another analogy that Paul uses is that of the farmer in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. In the word, Greek word verb for hardworking means to labor to the point of exhaustion. How many of you ever worked on a farm? How many of you had grandparents or somebody that owned a farm? I mean, farms are becoming non-existent, aren't they? And even the farmer has many conveniences nowadays that farmers never used to have. But when you think of a farmer, you think of somebody that works hard. And that's what Paul is saying here. It's somebody that works to the point of exhaustion. In the ancient farmers, they put in long hours of back-breaking labor under all kinds of conditions, hoping that their effort would produce a bountiful harvest. And so what Paul is doing, he is urging Timothy to labor intensely. And then another analogy that Paul gives is that of the worker. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, I want you to see the point that Paul is making again and again. He makes it from a different angle, but it's really the same thing that he's talking about. He says every Christian, whether you are a soldier or you are a farmer or you are a worker, don't waste time with things that really don't matter, because you're going to have to use your time to focus on the battle that you are fighting, or you're going to use your time to focus on the race that you are running. And if you're an athlete, you run according to the rules. If you're a farmer, you labor intensively, striving according to his power to bring in a spiritual harvest. If you're a worker, which is just about anybody, work so you are not ashamed. Work as one who rightly divides the word of truth, doing away with foolish talk, gossip, and slander. In other words, let the hat that you, whatever hat you are wearing, give it all you got. Whatever you are doing, do it with all your might. Give 110%. Stick to God's rules, but don't be lazy and surrender. Those are the words that are not in the Christian vocabulary, unless surrender is to God. That's the only time the Christian is called to surrender. And then Paul refers to the Christian life and the Christian as being a vessel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, God not only equips you for battle, for the race that you will run, for the crops that you will work, but also the vessel you'll be, the vessel that you will be. And if you keep yourself pure, you will be a vessel that God will use for special purposes. So Paul is saying, work hard at not only what you are doing, but who you are, at who God wants you to be. And then he talks about a servant in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Serving people means kindness and patience. If you don't want your witness to be compromised, realize there will be those that oppose you, but speak gently to them. But again, it's the soldier that I want to focus on today. And as I thought about it, I was reminded of those in Christ's army who have died on the battlefields of faith and left us a legacy. And I'm referring to those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, as there is such a great crowd of witnesses around us. Let us run the race with patience. There are those who have literally spilled their blood. Martyrs of the church have died to preserve our precious faith. We listened to Bob McKay talk about those in Romania who had been imprisoned for their faith and how they endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to remind you of an awesome truth. We are all going to leave a memory someday. We'll be a memory to those that we leave behind. But the question that I have for myself is, what kind of legacy will I leave? When people remember the kind of person you were, will they remember you as a soldier of the cross? You see, we don't like to think about these things, but the time to think about them is now. The time to think about them is while we're here and we can still do something about it. And here is Paul near the end of his life. He's in a Roman prison. He's chained to a soldier who's there to guard him day and night. And he takes steps to ensure that he would be remembered as a good soldier of the cross. Paul, this is what I want people to know about me, that I endured hardness as a good soldier, that I fought the fight, I run the race, and I finished the course. And because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And Paul would tell us today, I believe, that there are five qualities of a good soldier, because these are outlined in the words that he gave to Timothy. Number one, a good soldier is a follower. He is a follower. This implies relationship. The first step, of course, is to join the army. You can't be a good soldier unless you take the side that you're supposed to be on. No man can work for the Lord until they first get into the army. And this is accomplished through receiving Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. This is what happens when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You become a part of His army. You become a soldier of Christ. But it also implies rank. You know, there's always somebody higher than you. There's always somebody that could pull rank over you. There's always somebody who is going to be a boss over you. Very few people reach the place where they are not answerable to anyone. Most of us have somebody that we are answerable to. But every child of God is ranked under Jesus. And they are responsible for following Him and His will for their lives. And so today, if you have become a Christian, you've received Christ as your Savior, you have a relationship with Him, you also need to come under His lordship and let His rank be above yours. It also implies rules and rule to refuse. What happens? Anybody been here in the military? Yeah, Dick, Rod. What happens if you don't follow your commanding officer? If you don't follow the rules, there are consequences to be paid, right? We need to follow rule, the rule of the Lord. We're His army. We have the obligation of obeying His orders, even unto death. The call of God The call of Christ has not changed. When we refuse to live as the Lord desires, there's consequences that we pay. And he tells us that we are to love not the world, neither the things that are of the world, because these things are not of the Father, but are of the world. And so a good soldier is a follower. You know, I always get a kick out of people who have a hard time following, taking orders, being under authority. You know what they do? They go join the military. And then they find out what being under authority really means, right? And then there is, he's faithful. He's faithful. It can be seen in his patience. He endures hardship. He does not quit. The good soldier realizes that hardships, troubles are on the way, but they are not deterred by them. He understands that pain is part of the Christian experience. Please remember that the Christian is called upon to face life with extreme patience. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And we are to run this race with patience, keeping our eyes focused on him. Also talks about that he is faithful in his priorities. He seeks to please the commander. The good soldier knows that anything which interferes with his performance in the military must be done away with. Who comes first in your life? Pleasing Jesus ought to be the number one priority of every child of God. And then he's also faithful in his practice. He guards the truths of the faith. The good soldier takes care of the things that are delivered unto him. You have to make sure that the things that are entrusted to you are in good condition. That's the way it is with the Christian soldier. And God wants us to live our life in a manner that brings honor to the Lord and not dishonor. But he trusts us, and we take good care of the gifts and the abilities and the talents and the weapons and the things that God has given us. And so the good soldier, he's a follower. He is faithful. And then number three, he is familiar. There are some things that the soldier knows that he's familiar with. One of those things is he's familiar with the commander's voice. To be able to pick out the commander's voice above any other voice. And in the Christian life, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. And another, they will not follow." And so the Christian needs to become familiar with the voice of the Lord, with our commander's voice. And I think the only way you can do that is to get more familiar with the Lord's voice by spending time with him and listening to it. You get this by getting in the Word. Do you know him when he speaks? We're familiar with the commander's voice. We're commander with the skill of using our weapons. The good soldier knows that he is engaged in mortal warfare, and he knows that the only way to succeed, really the only way to stay alive, is to be able to fight and be proficient with every weapon. We need to be skilled in the spiritual weapons that God has given us, or else we're an open target for the enemy. We need to learn the art of spiritual warfare. If we intend to succeed for the glory of God, we need to know how to use our weapons, the weapons of the Christian life, how to pray, how to interpret the Bible, how to use the shield of faith, how to use the sword of the Spirit, how to use the shoes of peace. We need to know how to use these things if we're going to be effective. Imagine a soldier going into battle not knowing how to shoot his gun. You know, and I believe that there are Christians today, they're going through the Christian life, they have no idea on how to use the weapons of warfare that God has given them. And so if that's you, you need to get in Ephesians chapter 6 from 10 on, and you need to study those things. You also need to become familiar with the strategy of the enemy. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. He is a deceiver, yes. But we don't have to be deceived. We need to realize that the good soldier knows that the enemy is ever active and he never rests. Satan is always looking for a way in. He's waiting for us to let down our guard. We know that he is shrewd and we know that he is ever attacking, but we also know this. We also know that the Lord is by our side helping us. And we know that he will never leave us or forsake us. And so we can take comfort in that. And we can know this also, that regardless of the trap, there's always a way of escape. There's always a way out. That's what Paul said. He said that through every temptation, God makes a way of escape. The good soldier studies the methods of his enemies and learns his weaknesses and exploits to the fullest extent his ability. The good Christian soldier needs to be wise into the ways of the devil, and he needs to know this. He needs to know that Jesus, who is inside him, is greater than the enemy that is outside him. Jesus is greater than any enemy we will ever face. So we don't have to fear. We don't have to cower. We can stand fast. We can stand true. We can stand in the power of the Lord's might because we know that Jesus Christ and his spirit indwelling us is greater than the spirit of this world. The good soldier also is familiar with the shadows of his friends. And this is why I believe the Bible tells us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that we are to provoke one another to love and to good works. We are there to encourage each other and to lift each other up. Because let's face it, there are times when you're down and you need somebody to come alongside of you. And sometimes just them coming alongside of you, letting you know that they are there with you, makes all the difference in the world. So we need to be familiar with the shadows of our friends and knowing that we have friends that are surrounding us, that are praying for us, that are encouraging us, that are helping us in this battle. And that's what you need to be for each other. If you see somebody that's down, if you see somebody discouraged, just to go put an arm on their shoulder and say, I want you to know that you're not alone in this thing. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. Is there anything that I can do for you? Is there anything that I can do to help you? You know, I love it when you go to the Old Testament and you talk about the giants that David slew. And by the way, does anybody know how many giants David is given credit for slaying? Give you a hint. How many rocks did he pick up, stones did he pick up when he went against Goliath? 5. That's right. David killed Goliath 4 times later in his life. It mentions that David slew other giants. So he's given credit for slaying 5. But how many of those giants did David actually kill by himself? 1. Goliath. All the rest were killed by David's men. They were taken care of by the men that shadowed David, by the men that surrounded David. And I want you to know that you do not have to live the Christian life alone. You don't have to do battle all by yourself. We're here for you. We're shadowing you. And if you just anytime come and say, you know, the enemy, I think he's too strong for me. Pastor, can you help me? I want you to know that I will be there for you, and I will be there, and I'll pray that we can slay this giant together. And you can have victory. You don't have to be overcome by the power of the enemy. We're here for each other. We shadow each other. We need to be familiar with our friends. We need to be familiar with those who know how to get a hold of God in prayer and ask them to pray for us. Nothing wrong with that at all. We need to know those that are skilled with the sword of the Spirit and know how to get answers from the Word of God, and we need to go to them. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's why I think God gives us different skills and abilities, because we need each other. In the areas where I am weak, somebody else is strong. And maybe the area that you're weak, me or somebody else in this congregation is strong. And together, we defeat our foes. And so Paul is saying that I want you to know that a good athlete is a follower. Number one, a good athlete is faithful. A good soldier is faithful. A good soldier is familiar. And then a good soldier is a fighter. Paul makes three statements in this verse that describe a good soldier in chapter 4 and verse 7. One, he is determined. The good soldier does not retreat in the face of the enemy. He does not run from a fight. Instead, he stands his ground and he fights until the battle is over. You know, it's sad today that there are many Christian soldiers who have dropped out of the battle. I challenge you not to be among that number. Don't drop out. Don't quit. Don't give up. Persevere. You know, there's a story in the Bible about a man who fought over a bean pile. I would think, wow, that's no big deal. But to him, it was sacred ground. And the Bible says that he stood there and he fought so long that when he was done, they could not pry his fingers loose from the sword. I don't know if you've ever hung on to anything that tightly, but he hung on to that sword for so long and so tightly that he couldn't let go. That's how strong we need to hang on to the Lord, that we couldn't let go. This soldier was so skilled with the sword that the arm and the sword were as one. But he fought until every foe, every enemy was defeated. We need to be determined, that determined. He also is driven. The good soldier realizes that the battle does not run according to his time frame. He knows that another is in charge of the duration of the battle, but the good soldier is driven to finish. Not only have many Christians gotten out of the battle, but there are many Christians that are one thing away, one bad thing away from quitting on the Lord. They haven't quit, but if one more tragedy comes in their life, one more discouraging thing, they're ready to quit. They're ready to give up. I want to tell you, a good soldier is driven to finish. To finish. I challenge you to keep serving and keep fighting. And then the good soldier is dedicated. He dedicates himself by keeping his oath. He is determined to live for the Lord regardless of the personal cost. The good soldier keeps the faith. He shares it, he lives it, he defends it. He does everything in his power to keep it pure and undefiled. And so the good soldier is a number of things, Paul tells us. He said, I want you to know that the good soldier, he's a follower. He follows the commander in chief. I want you to know that the good soldier, he's faithful. He's faithful to God and to those that he is responsible for. The good soldier, he's familiar. He's familiar with things like the voice of the commander-in-chief. He's familiar with his weapons. He's familiar with his friends. He's a fighter. He will fight until the end. And that's what goes along with this last point. He is a finisher. He is a finisher. The good soldier is a finisher. Why? Because he has resolve. He's in it for the long haul. He doesn't quit at the first hint of trouble. He's a finisher. We covered this on a Wednesday night one time, but I was surprised as I looked through the Bible and I saw that very few men actually finished well. Very few actually finished well. It doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. You need to have resolve. And then a good soldier has a reason. He endures hardship. He stays in the fight. He follows the leader selflessly. He has a reason for doing so. And see, if we don't have a reason for being a good soldier, we'll back out. I remember when David came and the Philistine army was there with the Israelite army, and Goliath would come out and he would mock the children of Israel every day, saying, "Oh, men of Saul, send somebody to fight me." And they all cowered from his presence. And here's little David. What gave David the courage, the spunk, to be able to go out and fight where men twice as strong and big and skilled as he was were afraid to? David said four words. He said, "Is there not," or is that five words? "Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to join this battle? And I'll tell you why I cannot go back on the Lord. It's because the Lord loved me so much that he died on a cross so that my sins could be forgiven and I could go to heaven. He gave everything for me. He gave his own life's blood. He has given me everything that I need to live life. Why would I ever turn my back on him? I have a cause. You have a cause. You have something to look forward to. We have heaven to look forward to. We sang about it this morning, one of my favorite songs. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. The good soldier realizes there is a reason to stay in the battle. The Lord loves him, and no price becomes too high for the good soldier to pay. And then the reward. He has his reward. Just to be able to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done." That will be reward enough. Another one of my favorite songs, "It Will Be Worth It All." It will be worth it all when we see Christ. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. You bow your heads, close your eyes. Can you see the prize this morning? Can you see Jesus at the finish line? Can you see Jesus taking you by the hand when you get to heaven? Can you see the crowns, the victor's crown? Can you see yourself laying it at his feet? These are the things that make it worthwhile. Can you see the loved ones that have gone on ahead of you? Can you see them as part of the great cloud of witnesses, cheering you on, saying, "Don't give up, don't quit, you can make it"? I don't know, but I my heart is heavy today. I don't know if there's somebody here has been thinking about quitting. Don't quit on God. Maybe there's somebody here who's thinking, "You know, if one more bad thing happens, I just don't know how much more I can take. Maybe it would be just easier to not serve God. Oh yeah, I can still be a Christian." Paul said, no, you want to be able to get to the end of your life and you want to be able to say, I fought the fight. I fought. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. You want to be able to get to the end of your life and say, I've run the race. I've run it all the way to the end. I've run it with my eyes on the prize. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, before you raise your hand, just hear me out. I wonder how many of you are facing a hardship this morning. There's trouble in your life. There's a difficulty. Please understand that Satan would tell you to quit. Satan would tell you to give up. Jesus is saying, you can make it. I will never leave you or forsake you. We'll do this together. I'll walk by your side every step of the way. You're not alone. Jesus would say, I've surrounded you with a shadow of friends. Satan will tell you you have no friends. Jesus will tell you, no, you do. They shadow you on every side. Now, let me ask you, how many of you here today say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Yes, there is hardships. I'm having a hard time. There's trouble in my life. Could I see your hand? Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Nobody said life would ever be easy. And we get accustomed to pampering ourselves and take the easy way. But God says endure hardships. It's the way your faith grows. It's the way you become stronger. It's the way you become more Christ-like. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for the honesty of those that raise their hands. Lord, you know the difficulties. You know the trials. You know the battles that people are facing today. Lord, I help them to know that you are there with them. Help them to feel your presence and your peace and your strength and your ability. Help them to, with faith, declare today, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would minister to these people in each situation that they are in. But I pray this, Lord, I pray that they would have victory. I pray that they would walk in victory. Oh, Lord, you've already gained the victory. May they walk in the victory of your presence today. And again, Lord, if there is any that has gone so far where they are thinking about quitting and giving up, Lord, that one, you would reach them today in a very special way. That you would come and reveal yourself to them, even as you did Peter, who was so discouraged after denying you three times and was giving up. But I'm glad that you said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Lord, today that you would speak a personal word to that person. Go tell my disciples and put their name in there, that they would feel special to you today. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing this chorus again as we leave today? It will be worth it all. It's what Nancy's playing. It will be worth it all. And I'm going to go to the back so I can greet. And you can come out when you're ready, but I think, again, this is a good song just to be having on our minds as we leave. It will be worth it all.